This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're going to be talking about a bit of news that went viral over the last few days on social media. And that is and that involves the Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, Rina Harun, because photos of her posing in various styles of baju kurung, very sort of glamorous done up shots, and some of them taken at the ministry office, have been making the rounds on social media.
That's right. And so that has prompted some criticism. And I think it's fair to say that that criticism has been mixed in nature, because there are some comments that have been targeted at her appearance. But on the flip side, there are also people criticizing her for taking the photos at all, because they appear to be, I suppose, more driven by fashion than highlighting any particular work that the ministry is doing or that she is doing in her capacity as a minister. And they're saying that all this is happening as her ministry has not done enough to help the rakyat during the pandemic. So, for example, some of the things that have been directed their way include a lack of welfare aid for vulnerable groups like the elderly and disabled, speaking up for issues that affect women and children as well.
Mm. So some of the pointed criticism of came from people like the CEO of the National Welfare Foundation, Datin Padukache Asma Ibrahim, who commented on Facebook to say that the ministry's office, used to be busier in the previous administration, with officers lining up to talk about the rakyat's issues. In an opinion piece, Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato said that Rina Harun wouldn't have faced this kind of criticism if she had put more attention into solving critical issues, the things that you mentioned earlier. And she particularly brought up the rape of a 16-year-old girl in a Miri lockup recently. But the other thing that I think has had a lot of people talking about is the fact that there hasn't been much movement on the sexual harassment bill that people have been talking about getting passed for so long, and in light of the recent cases of harassment at police roadblocks as well. So a lot of things kind of coming together. And I think people asking questions in terms of what exactly a minister's responsibilities are. And is this something that a minister should be doing in the first place?
Yeah, so I think it's coming at a particularly fraught time because, again, just to reiterate, Minister of Women, Family, Community Development. And so when we look at things, the issues that have come up around COVID-19, especially among vulnerable groups, essentially all three of these elements within the ministry have been affected. Whether it's women, whether it's family, we keep hearing stories about domestic abuse, about child abuse, about malnutrition, about schooling and all the rest of it, and community development. And again, there we are seeing lots of worries and anxieties coming up, whether it's about bread and butter issues, particularly for the urban poor, or for that matter, whether it's just mental health. And so I think in the midst of all that, it's not unwarranted for people to therefore take a look at a minister who out of nowhere appears to be in some sort of promotional material, right?
Mm.
To then say, okay, so looking at that and looking at actual results, where are we? How do those things balance out? I think, however, we also can't ignore the fact that it's that some of the criticism has been superficial in nature, some might even say sexist.
That is exactly the thing, and that's actually why I felt so torn about this issue in the first place, because on the one hand, it's perfectly legitimate to criticize a public official on their performance, on their duties. However, I feel like some of this is very gendered in nature. It's very easy and very knee-jerk for people to automatically fixate on how a female public official looks and how she presents herself. And, this sort of a photo shoot, I feel like people are fixating on things that are not necessarily the issues to be talked about. So really a lot to unpack in terms of both how we want our public officials, our ministers to present themselves, but on the same note, whether what they look like has anything to do with their performance and whether we should be linking the two.
Because when we do link the two, I think we muddy the waters of criticism. We muddy the waters of being able to engage with what it is that they're doing and talking about.
So share your thoughts with us on this. Is it fair to criticize a person's appearance if you're unhappy with their performance? How do you think the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry has been doing? What are some of the key issues that they should be focusing on? Call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking more on this to Nisha Sabanayagam of the All Women's Action Society, or AWAM, and Nadine Azman from the 111 Initiative.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:14 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We are now talking about a recent sort of controversy criticism that's been happening online about the Women, Family and Community Development Minister, Rina Harun, and a photo shoot that she did within her ministry office, which has been attracting a lot of comments because they were saying that, that mostly revolve around her, the perceived lack of performance by her ministry. So if you have thoughts on this, you can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now we have on the line Nisha Sabanayagam, who is the Program and Operations Manager at All Women's Action Society, or AWAM. And joining her is also Nadine Azman, who is a campaigner with 111 Initiative, which is Undi 18's campaign to push for 50% female representation in the Dewan Rakyat. Nisha, Nadine, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So I'd like to start by addressing this criticism and attention that's been going towards Rina Harun, particularly for that photo shoot, right? Do you think this has been fair, basically? Maybe Nisha, you can start us off?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I think, in the new normal that we're experiencing now, the idea of fairness is so relative, and it's really hard to talk about fairness when, you know, at one hand, we have people who are literally unable to put proper food on your table, and then at the other hand, we have people who are flaunting SOPs and getting away with it. But I think in the light of the fact that we're going through a pandemic, and so many people are negatively affected by it, and especially women, that having a photo shoot and being so public about it reflects a sort of sense of bad taste and timing. And, you know, these are really hard times. And as a leader has a responsibility to not only take care of the needs of her constituency, but I also feel that a leader needs to be able to portray an image of empathy at this time, because the public really needs to look at their leaders and trust that the leader is thinking about their needs at this time. So that's my opinion on it.
Nadine?
All right. So I think that while politicians generally are used to doing glamour photo shoots, I would also reiterate Nisha's view that it signifies misaligned priorities, because you're doing this in a pandemic, and also, you are in a position of power and you are holding a very crucial portfolio. It does not help that previously, when she was also a minister in the last CH cabinet, she has always been seen as an underperforming minister. So I think, even if the intention is for her to revamp or rebuild her image, I think no amount of rebranding can distract the Rakyat from the fact that you're not exactly doing a great job.
And Nisha, it seems like a lot of the criticism is coming exactly from that perception, right? That the ministry isn't doing enough to tackle urgent issues, so rising domestic abuse cases, poverty. So I want to talk about what they've done and what they've not been able to do, where they've fallen short. So let's start with what they've achieved. What has the ministry achieved during the pandemic?
Okay, so to be fair to the ministry, they have been doing some work behind the scenes, and it's just not been made as public as it could have been. They engaged a lot with the women's groups, and I'm looking from the perspective of, you know, women's rights and, you know, gender-based violence that's happening during the pandemic. They engaged a lot with the CSOs. They made effort into finding out what was wrong with, you know, processes during processes of access to support systems during the pandemic, and they incorporated some of their inputs, some of our inputs into their planning and their implementation. And they got the police and the welfare department to sit down with us so we could all, you know, be on one page on understanding what the gaps are in the system and to try and close the gaps. And, you know, as a result of these meetings, you know, we see that, you know, there's a lot more messaging from the police, making it clear to women that, you know, even under the strictest of MCOs, you know, if you are experiencing domestic violence at home, you can go out at any time and make a police report, and you can even cross cross district lines. So there were some efforts being made. They also made the process of getting protection orders easier for women if they needed, you know, interim protection orders. And of course, I think a lot of people may have noticed that they've improved quite a lot in their public service messaging, as opposed to the fiasco that we had last time with Doraemon. You don't see that coming out now. What you see are posters that are a lot more respectful. Posters that explain what is domestic violence, and if you're experiencing domestic violence, these are the numbers to call. And they've even made the effort to put in WAO's number as well as AWAM's numbers on their public service messaging, so the public has a choice to reach out for help to various agencies. So they have been doing some stuff. It's just that it's a bit under the radar. And so let's give credit where credit is due.
So with that said then, where are some areas where there's room for improvement?
Well, of course, obviously with the recent hoo-ha that's going on with the police and how they are harassing, you know, vulnerable women at roadblocks, they have failed to live up to their promise of taking the sexual harassment bill, for sure. It was meant to have happened last year. It was, you know, it was even promised by the minister that it would be tabled in November. They should have pushed way more harder for it to be tabled. And this lack of movement towards tabling the sexual harassment bill is made even more stark by the fact that they actually had the backing of the rakyat. And they had bipartisan support on this, you know. And I'm sure, you know, even all of you know this, and BFM, you know, we've done quite a number of interviews on that. You know, people were really pushing for the sexual harassment bill to be tabled last November. So they definitely have fallen short when it comes to pushing through policies.
But that said, right, it struck me that a lot of this criticism at this point in time also seems to take on a particular tone. It's about appearance. And I was wondering, maybe Nadine first, do you think that female politicians and ministers are subject to more attention and criticism, particularly when it relates to what they look like?
Yeah, I do think so. And this is not even a new thing or something that's related to Malaysia, something that's constricted to Malaysia alone. It's almost like a universal experience. And I do notice that comments about women politicians' appearances tend to be very personalized. Like, I can't even cite a few, like, recent examples. Like, for instance, Nurul Izzah, MP for Permatang Pau, she was once criticized on a Facebook Live program because of how she was wearing her tudung in that particular event. And I think another like notable incident for me is also the fact that Azalina, who's the current deputy speaker, like, she has constantly received criticism over her appearance just because she doesn't like dress or present herself in a stereotypically feminine way. And this particular angle has also been leveled by fellow sitting MPs. So yeah, I do think it's a problem.
Yes, and I think it's also a global problem. It doesn't just happen in Malaysia per se. I think it happens all over the world where women politicians get attacked for the way they dress or for their appearances. Wasn't there recently at a time when Hillary Clinton was running for Secretary of State or Vice President, and they talked about her cleavage? while she was giving a speech. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and her pantsuits and so on and so on. But yeah. Nisha, on that note, you know, I was wondering whether with this recent batch of photos that came out, do you think that it's fair to link Rina's photos to her performance as a minister?
No, not at all. It's entirely unfair. It's a completely different issue. There's no reason to say that, you know, she can't have a photo shoot if she wants to have a photo shoot. But it was just her sense of timing. It was just so bad. And, you know, not just to have a photo shoot, but also to, as I said earlier on, to make it more public. But no, I think that we need to forget about the photos and really just focus on, you know, what she's meant to do as a minister.
So, Nadine, many of these reactions are internalized or even normalized in society, right? This knee-jerk, yeah, it's okay, you know, everything is fair game whenever we're criticizing someone. So how can we check ourselves? You know, in your view, how can we talk about a minister or politician's shortcomings without taking aim at their appearance or, for that matter, without getting personal?
I think whenever there's this urge to point out any particular minister or politician's appearance, we should always remember that these politicians might not see or hear our remarks, but our friends and acquaintances see this. Like, for instance, I think Rina, there was a speech that Rina Harun made on Twitter that went really viral because of her pronunciation. And what I noticed that there was also a barrage of remarks feeling hurtful about those sort of criticisms, because to some people it's a criticism that you could also level at people you know in real life. Mm. So I think ultimately when you want to criticize these ministers and politicians, you have to refocus on the matter at hand, which is their policies and their actions.
And in closing, getting back to that, you know, what we want from these ministers, I wanted to ask each of you, what are some of the most pressing issues that you think the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry should be looking into? Nisha?
Well, obviously, you know what I'm going to say, right? They need to figure out how to get the sexual harassment bill tabled. And I think that this time around, they also need to understand that they probably need to get the big guns of the government on their side. So maybe working with the Prime Minister's Department, with the Home Ministry, with the AG's chambers, and, you know, push for a concentrated effort to ensure that this bill is enacted into law sooner than later. That's definitely what I think is a high pressing issue that they need to look into.
What about you, Nadine?
I also echo Nisha on the sexual harassment bill, because we've been seeing domestic violence and sexual harassment increase, and unfortunately the things that happen offline are also going online as well.
Yes.
But
yes.
From my own perspective, I would like to see the Women's Ministry work on figuring out how COVID has impacted Malaysian women, the elderly and the OKU, because we don't know the effects of long COVID in Malaysia and the complications of the long-term complications of COVID might eventually impact the welfare system, which I understand is under the purview of the Women's Ministry. So I'm very curious if the Women's Ministry has a plan for this.
Nisha, Nadine, thank you so much for weighing in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Nisha Sabanayagam, Program and Operations Manager at All Women's Action Society, or AWAM, and Nadine Azman, campaigner at 111 Initiative. Share your thoughts with us on this. Is it fair to criticize a person's appearance, particularly a public official, if you're unhappy with their performance? And what do you think the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry should be focusing on? How have they been doing so far? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages.
Yes, we do. So, mixed bag. Alex says, people are struggling to put food on the table. They're jobless, and yet she spends it on a photo shoot. I hope she's not charging the cost to the government. So I want to say that if you haven't seen the photos yet, we do call it a photo shoot, but it doesn't necessarily look like your standard, you know, beautiful lighting, professional camera. It's much closer to the kind of photo shoot you would see from anybody on Instagram.
Yes. And yeah, it's difficult to say, really, because there's not a whole lot of information, as often is with these things that go viral online. We have Harris, though, saying criticism thrown at the minister has been going on for some time. I sense some racist or racial sentiments at play, although they pretend otherwise.
So I don't know. I can only speak for myself. I've never looked at it through that lens. Instead, I think if you just look at sort of the hard facts of what has been achieved and what hasn't, then I think that's where the criticism is coming from, at least from my perspective. I can't speak for everybody else.
So keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.